Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program. And that includes Growmark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto Roundup Ready Plus for weed management solutions. In this week's program, we are going to get an update and learn about what's going on with Truth About Trade and Technology. I conducted this little conversational interview during the Bayer 150th anniversary celebration that took place at the Bayer Crop Science headquarters in North Carolina. I'm visiting here with Mary Boat, who is CEO of Truth About Trade and Technology, and Bill Horan, who is currently chairman of the organization. I'd like to talk to both of you together here and just have a conversation about what you are doing, how is it working, some of the challenges that you face, priorities that you have that you're working on, that kind of thing. So we'll just get started, and I think people probably have a familiarity with Truth About Trade and Technology, but how would you describe where you're at right now? I mean, what would you say is the state of the organization and what you're trying to accomplish?
I think Truth About Trade is in a very good position right now. We're actually growing very much, especially the last year. We've taken some time and really sat back and looked strategically, what is the value proposition that is Truth About Trade and Technology? How are we adding value to what we're doing, where those messages are being delivered? I think the largest growth, not only the opportunity, but what you would see today and where we're focused in the future is incorporating more global voices of farmers, like-minded farmers, those who believe in the importance of freer trade, the ability to move our products across borders easily, and how important access to technology is regardless of where you live, whether you're in Burkina Faso, South Africa, you're in the Philippines, or you are in North Dakota. Access to the appropriate technology is so important. So finding these like-minded farmers, putting them together, and then providing a platform for them to communicate their stories is where we are and really seeing tremendous opportunity.
So, Bill, I like the idea of telling stories. It's what we do a lot, I think, on AgWired and in our community there. How about from your standpoint? I mean, what kind of story do you have to tell right now?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Truth About Trade and what the board members enjoy is that we're able to say what a lot of companies and organizations would like to say, but for political reasons and others, they can't say it. And so that's why they all are supporting Truth About Trade in our effort. We tell the story of agriculture and technology from the farmer's perspective. Why is this technology important to farmers? What does it do for us and our families? And why does the rest of the world need access to some of this technology? You know, a lot of the board members are long-time experienced leaders in different organizations. Our board comes from literally across the United States, north to south and east to west. And so we have a perspective, a broad perspective that a lot of organizations don't have. And we're able to tell agriculture story, and we're able to move these technologies literally into other places in the world to produce more food for more families.
Can I add to that? I think the other part that's really important about this is, in addition to this broad base of institutional knowledge regarding agriculture in the United States, we have 98 farmers, 63 different countries, 6 continents who are part of our global farmer network. They think just like Bill Horan does. The politics they have to deal with are different. The type of ground that they're working in, the crops that they grow or the livestock that they produce may be a bit different. But their challenges and the opportunities they see that are required for feeding the world are very, very similar. And so that like-mindedness spans the globe in addition to just going across our country.
Well, you just beat me to the punch. That was my next question to ask, besides the shy farmers like Bill here who, you know, just don't, are kind of afraid to express their opinion. Do we have connections with farmers in other parts of the world where we want to do trade with, for example. And I think that makes a lot of sense to bring them into the fold, so to speak, so that you've got a voice that's global, because that's really what trade's all about, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we started a number of years ago bringing a group of farmers from around the world to what we call the Global Roundtable in conjunction with the World Food Prize in Des Moines. And we wanted to hear what were the issues that, those different farmers had and what they needed to survive and thrive next 5 years, for instance. Well, over time, each year when we bring a dozen to 17 farmers into Des Moines, we've got this Global Roundtable group now that Mary just spoke about. Well, one of the surprises to us that we never even thought about was now we've got 90-some farmers from around the world after all this time. And these are people that are now asking for technology, asking for better trade rules so that global trade can take place. And instead of American farmers and organizations going around the world, for instance, the corn growers, beet producers, soybean association, talking about our great products we have and why countries should be importing our products, now we have 90-some voices on the ground in those countries asking for the products, asking for the technology, asking for the quality exports that the U.S. has. So we've got a push-pull thing going on now that we never expected to have. It's an unintended consequence that came out of these meetings, and it's a very powerful tool now to increase trade and technology usage around the world.
I think we have a tremendous, just a very recent example. Gilbert Bohr is a smallholder farmer from Kenya. We met him in 2009, invited him to be part of the Global Farmer Roundtable. Since that time, he has been prolific in working with us and writing editorials that have been widely received. Gilbert's been published in USA Today talking about the labeling issue that's going on in the United States and how decisions made in, at that point in time, California, right now the federal, how that impacts him as a smallholder in Kenya, ultimately down the road. He's been published in the Wall Street Journal Europe. He's been published in the Daily Nation, which is the largest newspaper in Nairobi, Kenya. His most recent one, again, impacts what Bill just said. Many people in agriculture are familiar with the Seralini report that talked about rats and tumors and tried to connect it to GMOs. That was quickly discredited by scientists all around the world. But that wasn't before a lot of groups that were very anti-technology used it. One of the, I think that the anti-technology groups would say would be a success is Kenya, which had passed a biosafety rule, immediately pulled back and said, immediately banned all imports of GM crops, food, and seed. It's a huge impact on farmers like Gilbert Bohr. He is a smallholder dairy farmer. He has vegetables, and not only was he not, he was really looking forward to having access to some seeds. He has seen how beneficial they are with some of the challenges that he was working in. The livestock that he was the feed that he needed for his livestock was already cut in half again. And so real world impacts, but using these farms to talk about how issues that may seem to be irrelevant to a lot of us are impacting them and ultimately impact us as well.
So what would you say are some of the key issues or challenges you're facing now? Are they any different than when Truth About Trade and Technology was started, for example? Are we still kind of battling, having some of those same battles? I know you basically mentioned, and I wanted to get on the topic of how does the activist we see today in some of these, resistance to technologies, how big of an impact are they really having, and, your perceptions on that?
Well, some of the battles are the same, and that's one of the frustrations and one of the reasons that we think we need to continue this battle. There's probably been no technology invented by man that's been more vetted than biotechnology. For three decades now, 30 years, we've had, for instance, Roundup Ready soybeans. We've got BT corn. We've got all of these technologies now that are making us more efficient, more productive, have better, safer food. And we still have folks around the world that think that there's we need more testing. It's unproven. We don't know the outcomes. Well, we do. And the scientific community is in lockstep with us. But there are a lot of activist communities that, frankly, make their money by scaring people about their food. And that's a real frustration because, you know, that's just wrong. You know, one of the things that I think people don't think about is that in Iowa, for instance, we like to say that an Iowa farmer produces enough food for 147 other people. Well, that's fine, but think about what are those other 147 people doing? Think about the Jonas Salks of the world and all the people that invent and improve and go out there and make life better. If they had to go out and hunt and gather their food every day, instead of having 147 people to go to work and improve society, just think what kind of a world we would have. We need to really think about the technology that's used in production agriculture today frees up so many people to go use their brilliance to make life better for all of us. And it's because of modern farming techniques and those products and technologies used by modern farmers allows all those people to make the world a better place for all of us.
So let's just look ahead here. You mentioned looking strategically at what you're doing, always a good thing for any organization. What is kind of the next, at least maybe couple years, look like? What do you think is going to be where you go, what you do, and how will that drive the types of work that you're doing?
We've got a number of opportunities, clearly, from conversations that require and would be better discussed with a farmer's perspective, including a lot of the trade opportunities, the growth opportunities, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, certainly, but also the current EU-US free trade agreement negotiations are going to be starting, both not only from the U.S. side, but clearly from global farmers. Both of those particular things involve a lot of farmers around the world. One of the things that we have done strategically with Truth About Trade, we've actually added a social media and digital intern to our group because it's not important to just talk. It's easy to talk amongst ourselves and talk to groups who are used to doing it. Truth About Trade has always been focused on getting these stories out into the mainstream media. But mainstream media right now is, as you know very well, Facebook and Twitter and those areas where people are getting their information. And so we're really delving into that area and using not only U.S. farmer voices but global voices as well, talking about why this movement of goods and services across these borders, specifically in these two negotiations, are so important and how we all better from it. I think from a technology point as well, what Bill was just sharing regarding what are those other 147 people doing. Those are fabulous stories that we can talk about. We talk about the importance of feeding a growing world, and although morally we all think it's very important, when we get down to day-to-day lives, I don't think a lot of people are really concerned about that. They're concerned about feeding their family. And I think that making sure that that story is told, but also then making sure that they understand that because a farmer is doing so well and has technology access, that they're able to feed not only his family well, but your family well, allowing you to do and encourage your children to do things that are very excellent. I think that we're going to really expand on those messages and help our consumers, who are also us, connect the dots and find some opportunity to join with us in having this access become an important part of their lives.
You ask about what challenges in the future are coming and we're going to have to deal with. You know, one that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. We hear oftentimes about the 2 billion people that are coming in by 2050. But a lot of folks, economists, are saying, you know, it's the real number to think about is that during that same period of time, there's going to be 2 billion more middle-class incomes. And, of course, the first thing that happens when you have a middle-class income is you want more protein in your food. And in most cases, that means meat. So between now and 2050, which is not very long, we're going to have 2 billion more people eating meat. Now, how we're going to produce that food and how we're going to deal with the resources needed there and the technology needed there is going to create a whole new set of issues that we're going to have to deal with. It's going to be very exciting. We can do it, But we've got to be positive and work toward solutions and not just controversy like some of our folks that don't understand modern agriculture are doing.
Well, the work you're doing is very much needed. We certainly, even if you don't look ahead at the growing population, we've got people right now that need food, that are having trouble getting access to it, and frankly, trade barriers it can have a real impact on that, and as well as really what I guess the effect of some of what these activists are doing. Perhaps they do have some good intentions at heart. I don't buy that for some that I've had some contact with, but there are unintended consequences if they don't think through to the, you know, who are they really impacting with this. I will help point people to the work of Truth About Trade and Technology. We have enjoyed following that, and maybe someday I'll get another chance to visit your global roundtable too.
Well, that is the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.